Hey everybody, welcome back to, what is this called? Help me parent. Almost, I don't know what I was going to say. Wow, it's a great episode. Yeah. Well, welcome back to Help Me Parent. Today, as always, we have Dr. Ellen Moore with us. Hello.
Morning.
Good morning. And back in the studio with us, we have Courtney and Christian Diaz. Hi, guys.
What's up? Hello.
Just as a refresher, if nobody has watched yet or don't know who you are, just kind of tell us about yourselves, how long you've been married. Spoiler alert, they're married. How many kids you have and their ages.
You go ahead.
I'm Courtney Diaz. This is my husband.
Brilliant.
We've been married for almost 10 years. Next year will be 10 years. We have three kids, a almost three-year-old, almost seven-year-old, and a four-year-old, four-and-a-half-year-old.
Yeah. Wow. By the time this airs, it'll be seven, three, and four.
Yeah. They'll have birthdays. Wow. So how's the holiday season going for y'all? Are y'all prepped for Christmas?
Yeah, lots of peanut butter jelly sandwiches. Oh, no, I'm kidding. No, it's been good. Courtney did a fantastic job of getting their list from them and then getting it all ordered.
Yeah,
and
we are done Christmas shopping.
I'm excited to see what they got.
That feels impressive.
So good. And it's December 13th, right?
Yeah.
Look at
that's
you.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
This is kind of random, but tell them what you've done for the girls for Christmas like last year, and are y'all doing it this year with like the scavenger hunt? Because I think it's a cool idea.
Oh, our girls are, they love stuffed animals. So last year we did a scavenger hunt with all of these stuffed animals from a show called Lion Guard and a bunch of Pokemon stuffed animals with Isabella. So we just had them hide in certain areas and they just were given certain clues to go through the house. And this year we're doing the same thing with Mighty Pups and they're going to find Isabella's missing Christmas present.
That is so
they're
fun.
Very excited.
That is so fun. I think that's such a fun way to make Christmas like just like an extra level for the ages they're at. So we are going to be last episode. We focused on the infant ages and how to parent through that. And today we're going to be focusing on the toddler stages. So ages 3 to 5, which y'all are in
fun
right now.
Yeah. So fun.
So fun. Yeah. Is it really
your
fun?
Favorite?
It's my favorite.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Compared to the newborn stage.
I'm just thinking about the teen stage. I love this age.
Like I just want it to stay.
Think about
here.
How I
yeah, they're
as
cute.
A teen.
They're super cute, and you know, no matter what they're doing, it's like, oh, it's still kind of adorable.
You just slapped your sister in the face, but why do you look so cute?
You're doing it.
Yeah.
But when they're 16, it's a serious problem.
Yeah, they just lose their cuteness.
No. They don't. It's
they
a
don't?
Different kind.
Okay.
It's a different kind. Don't dread the teenage years.
Oh,
okay. Enjoy this moment. But I am telling you, the teenage years are so fun. Mm-hmm. It's a whole nother level of relationship. Mm-hmm. So don't dread it. It's going to be a blast. You're going to love it.
Your girls are going to be so fun as teenagers.
They are.
I'm excited for that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they're gonna be
and
great.
You're putting in the work early. The whole thing is put in the work at this stage when they are cute and it helps you not to kill them. But you put in the work on the front end. Mm-hmm. And so then by the time they're teenagers, they're closer to the launching than the starting. Mm-hmm. And so you've put in the hard work by that time and you're beginning to reap some of what you've been sowing. So you're putting in the hard work now and it'll pay off.
Nice. And I feel like this is that time right now. Like three, four, seven. Like what's that setup?
Yeah.
It's like you know, this is the time.
Want them to be.
Yeah. What is that? What is the work that you need to be doing now in this stage? What is the work y'all are doing right now to help your girls become who they're going to become? And what are some things you should be pouring into your kids at 3 to 5?
Yeah. This is, you know, when we've talked about the different stages of parenting, that there's the discipline, the training, the coaching, and then the friend. So you are, it's all about discipline right now. And this is the hard work. The training is consistency, you know, and keeping that going as your seven-year-old, you know, you're going to see just more and more of that. You're like, going alongside her, and here's how you handle this, here's how you handle this. But this toddler preschool stage, 3 to 5, is about discipline. It's about do this, don't do this. Here's how we do this. We don't respond like that. It's lots of positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement, lots of consequences, lots of rewards, but it's the hard work of discipline. And discipline isn't, it just gets a bad rap. It, you know, it has this negative connotation, but discipline is really about developing habits. And we're teaching our kids some things about being a human. And for us, also being a human who is a follower of Jesus and what that looks like. And so we're teaching them, here's what it looks like and here's what it doesn't look like.
Yeah. How have y'all seen that work with all of your girls? They all have different personalities. How does the discipline work with each of them? What's worked for y'all? A little bit about.
That's a hard part because they all respond differently. Like Mia, for example, sorry to throw out a name.
Mia.
She.
Watching this.
Right now, she's very headstrong, which will serve her well in the future. But that means at this age, if I get on to her or I tell her to not do something, right now she laughs at me when I'm talking sternly. And it's just. It's great.
So fun.
So like last night, she was kicking me. We'll just be honest. She kicked me because she was mad. And she's been doing that a lot lately. And what I've been doing has not been working. So I tried something new last night and ended up taking her in my room away from where we were, a quiet space. Put her in timeout. Let her sit there. She was very upset. And then we read a book called Feet Are Not for Kicking. So we had the discipline, talked to her about it. She was crying and upset, so I reached her in a way that she needed to be reached. She realized what she did was wrong. And then we ended with something fun, like reading a book and acting out the book. And wasn't like a conversation, but for her it was at her level of we don't use our feet for kicking. So that I'm hoping it works. With our oldest, she is a words girl.
Oh yeah. We can just talk to her and sometimes it's good. And sometimes it's a little harder to settle in, but like just talking helps her. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how she is a little bit. And then with her, we always have to kind of relate to ourselves. It's almost like, well, you, and then it's like, okay, well, I do this. And you do this, maybe that's something we can both work on,
yeah,
kind of thing. And it's always kind of like a relational thing. Like she wants to see us put some effort.
Too. She's holding you accountable.
Yeah.
It's like, do you have anything to own here?
Like what? Getting on to me, but look at you. I'm like, oh. But yeah, hers is words. And then the other one is a mixed bag. The middle one. It's words. But she's in this real sensitive stage lately. So it's like interesting. It's like
how to feel it out a lot with her. What's gonna work at this moment?
Now, because when we say discipline, I immediately thought spanking. Grounding, put them in the room, time out. But whenever you were talking about it, you're talking about that consistency. And it's funny because like I guess when adults talk about discipline, it's about consistency and forming those habits. Is that how we should be looking at discipline? Like the discipline side being the consistency or something? Like I don't even know how I'm wording this.
I think what I hear you saying, discipline is a training process. And that's exactly what we're doing. Where when we use self-discipline, you know, it's because we're wanting to train or form or reform something in our own life. You know, maybe it's our habits, our workout routine, our eating habits, whatever. And so we use self-discipline to form those. Mm-hmm. So discipline with kids is the same. It's we're training them on how to be a good human, yeah, and how to do it as a follower of Jesus. And so you do that by, with some firm boundaries, just again, like we give ourselves for working out or eating right, or, you know, how we're spending our time or our digital boundaries, whatever they are. You're giving them some boundaries and then you're holding them firm, mm-hmm, because, you know, it's like on a go-kart track, you've, yeah, got, you need some bumpers, mm-hmm, to keep you on the track, and, mm-hmm, you're going to bump up against and say, oh, I need to recalibrate, mm-hmm, or, you know, same as we do for us. Oh, I gained 2 pounds this week. That wasn't the goal. So, mm-hmm, I need to recalibrate here. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're doing with our kids. They're going along and they're going to hit up against these boundaries. And what happens a lot of times when those boundaries aren't firm and consistent, then it doesn't, the track just keeps changing. Mm. The shape of the track, mm, keeps changing. And it's like, well, so a wall doesn't mean a wall. It means, mm, an expansion, you know, if, mm, you're thinking about it on a track. Mm-hmm. And that just creates a lot of insecurity for kids. Because it's like, oh, well, everything always changes. So I guess I'll just do whatever I want and keep my fingers crossed that, you know, they're in a good mood today, or, mm-hmm, you know, that I don't get caught. But that's not training them to who we want them, mm-hmm, to be. So, yeah, discipline is a training process. Mm-hmm. And we are using boundaries, we're using consequences, we're using reinforcements to teach those, mm-hmm, to teach that way of life. Mm-hmm. And like with your oldest one, you know, she's wanting to relate to you. Some of that has to do with personality, but some of it has to do with development. Mm-hmm. And the older they get, that's why we start with the discipline in terms of, this is what you do. You do this, you don't do this. Mm. We're kind with our hands, we, mm-hmm, don't hit. We're sweet with our words, we don't scream. You know, we use inside voices, inside, outside voices, outside. Some of those things. And then as they get older, then they need kind of the moral reason why. Mm. Well, why can't I yell in the house? Well, because there's other people around. We want to be respectful of everyone in the house. And someone may be reading, someone may be on the phone. And so we want this to be an environment where everybody can do what they need to be doing. Or why can't I run in the grocery store? Well, there's lots of people and we don't want to ever knock anybody over accidentally. Or these people have worked so hard on putting all of these, mm-hmm, items on the shelves. What if we knocked it all over? Mm-hmm. You know, you're giving the moral reason why as they get older. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think what you did with the 3-year-old last night about the kicking, mm-hmm, is brilliant. That's training. Mm-hmm. That's discipline. You're not allowing, you're saying, here's the boundary. Oh no, we don't kick mommy. We don't kick anybody. You deal with that. And then you take a moment when it's appropriate and they're in the right frame of mind, like you did, read the book. Here's what we do. Mm-hmm. Here's what feet are for. Mm-hmm. Here's what we do when we're angry. Here's what we don't do when we're angry. And those are super beneficial when you're not in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. And you're giving them your... By doing that, you're totally setting her up for a win the next time. So you've had the conversation, you held the boundary. We don't kick people, and we certainly don't kick grown-ups or authority. Mm-hmm. But here's what we do with our feet. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's brilliant what you did.
Yeah, and even you played to like her imagination. Like, that's the stage they're at. Like, you play to her imagination, like, let's read the book and direct it in that way. And then, like, meeting Isabel at the stage she's at, too. Kind of going back to, like, the race car, like, what you were talking about, and, like, having, like, the boundaries set up. Are the boundaries same for all the kids? Are there boundaries that are in place for the three-year-old, and they're a little bit different for the seven-year-old? Or is it family-wide boundaries? How do you navigate that?
That's a good question. I think I'm trying to think through this to make mm-hmm. sure I answer the way I think. There are some boundaries that are immovable. Mm-hmm. That it's true for a three-year-old, it's true for the seven-year-old, it's true for the parents. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are some of those boundaries, kind of the non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. How those boundaries play out it does change. I think there's some rubber, mm-hmm. if we want to say, on the boundaries to help or to use differently mm-hmm. with each stage. But I would say typically the boundary is the same. It stays the same. But how you get there changes developmentally
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah. And I think there's some boundaries that are kind of developmental too. Like one of ours is our youngest can't use the scissors.
Right.
But the oldest yeah. uses the scissors every single day.
Right. But the boundary that applies to everybody is we're safe.
We're mm-hmm. safe. We're not.
We have safe practices.
Totally. Yeah.
Right. So, yes, that's a great example.
And it's funny because, like, we allowed our oldest to use scissors way sooner than the other ones. Just
right.
Because you kind of know when they're ready.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For stuff.
Right.
And, like, you know, our middle one, she can cut up her own fruit.
Yes.
And it's almost kind of like you have to like test it out a
right.
little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, that's just right. kind of like, I like think there's are some things.
Yes. Your three-year-old, you're going to say, you do not get out of bed, you know, between these times or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your seven-year-old, if you need a drink of water, you can get out of bed and go get a drink of water. Mm-hmm. It's safe. It's age appropriate. So, right. yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So talking about boundaries and stuff, I think there's also boundaries in when it comes to your marriage and kids, balancing all of that. So balancing work, time with your spouse, time with your kids, how can you do it all? Like when it feels like it's in that.
Yeah.
Are y'all in that stage where it's like, how can I get it all done?
I feel like I ask myself that every single day is like, how does it all get done? And I feel like there's a lot of people that might feel the same way. Like, because mm-hmm. I've work and then, you know, you want to spend time here. You want to spend time here. You have to spend time here.
Got to keep a clean house. All of these things.
Yeah. And I'm just like, am I putting too much pressure on all of it? Mm-hmm. You know, does it just kind of come naturally? Or like, is there some places something we can put in place to kind of help us, I don't know, get to a happy place? Because, like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like perfection's the thing, but, like, you know, I feel like I have this, Courtney kind of explains it better, but, like, I get this thing where, like, if I have too many things to do, mm-hmm. it's like I just stop. I'm like, no, I'm just not going to do any of it.
Yeah, it can be paralyzing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind of like that spend time paralysis.
Yeah. mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, yeah, how can, like, what is a good way to kind of get there? I feel like sometimes we get there. Mm-hmm. Like there are some times where we're really like, put the phone down. We can knock some stuff out. But I feel like it always works better when we're both kind of doing it. Mm-hmm. When, as opposed to when our schedules are off.
Yes.
It's like, man, I really want to clean up. And then I'm like cleaning by myself while she wants to like decompress. And
right.
Like, sometimes we pick the wrong times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then that just gets frustrating.
Yeah.
But I feel like whenever they lock in,
yeah.
You know, we're like Power Rangers. We just kind of like go together.
Oh my gosh.
And Power Rangers activate.
Yeah. It's like sometimes like you can feel it. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're working in sync here. Like, we're knocking some stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, now we're playing. Yeah. But like I feel like majority of the time, the schedule's not in sync.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I think you're a morning person. You want to do things in the morning. And I'm like, no.
Do not talk to me.
I'm more of a night, evening kind of person. But then at that point, I'm at home with the kids.
Yeah.
So it's like, I want to spend time with the kids. And so it is challenging.
Yeah, it's probably stressful listening to this right now.
Yeah. I think
help us, Ellen. So help us, parent.
I think every parent listening of 3 to 5 year olds can 100% relate. Mm-hmm. It's everybody is in the same boat or has been in the same boat or will be in the same boat. So I think one thing that you said you're asking yourself every day, how do we get it all done? I think I would start with asking a different question. And I would start every day with, what needs to be done today? Because you're not going to get it all done. Ever.
Yeah.
There's too much. And you are not going to be able to meet everybody's needs in every way, every day, and fulfill all your obligations and be able to, you know, experience all of your dreams coming true every day. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
So I think if...
Just got me tearing up over here.
I think, one, let yourself off the hook. It's not going to be perfect, and you're not going to get it all done. But that's okay, because not all of it has to be done today. And if it's something doesn't get done today, it doesn't mean you're a failure. It doesn't mean anybody is going to be lacking anything. God knows we are human. And so, and he even talks about, you know, that life with him is peace and joy. And walking with him is a light burden, and it's an easy walk. So if things are not feeling like that, I think a lot of times we're trying to do too much, or we've just gotten things out of whack. So I would start with changing your question.
Oh, yeah.
What needs to be done today? And I would also take it in chunks.
Yeah, make the list smaller.
Yes. I would take it in chunks in terms of one of the things that Philip had us do at the beginning of every year, which was very helpful for us, as we kind of started with the big things. So at the beginning of the year, we tried when our kids were young, we had tried to have 4 times in the year that we were gone overnight, even just one night. 24 hours made, I couldn't believe the difference 24 hours could make. Mm-hmm. And so we picked 4 times in January. We would look at the year and we would pick 4 times. We could give enough notice to our parents or to a babysitter and say, could you keep them? We wouldn't pick something expensive. We would, it would be, and it wasn't somewhere far away. It was within driving distance. And it might be one hotel night or a bed and breakfast night, but just a change of scenery. So thinking about your priorities and thinking about your time. So our relationship with God is number one priority. We're going to be our best for everybody else if we've got that piece in place. For me, that I need that daily in order to be the best version of me. But sometimes at this stage, you don't have, you know, you might say, well, to be the best version of me, I need 2 hours a day with God. That's not feasible.
No.
At this stage, because you've got to have rest. You've got to eat. You've got to go to work. You've got to pick up your kids from school. You've got to get them to school. You've got to whatever. The list goes, clean the house. The list goes on and on. So it's like, okay, Lord, if I give you the first 15 minutes and will you give me something that I need for the day? So then secondly is our spouse. So again, what I was just saying, we look at it as a chunk. Here's what we need. 4 times a year, we need time away, just the two of us. To think that you're going to have quality, extended connection with your spouse every day, I think is a little unrealistic. But to know that you need some kind of connection, and that's what every couple has to figure out. So it's like, okay, we need to connect and you guys figure out. And that is, again, maybe it's a 15-minute connection at the beginning of the day or the end of the day. Y'all figure out what works for you and you check in with each other and talk about, if you're doing it in the evening, talk about, all right, here's what tomorrow looks like. Or in the morning, here's what today looks like. All right, this one's got to be here. This one's got to go here. We've got to clean the house. We have people coming over tomorrow. You know, you do that. And you're checking in with each other. Okay, when can we make this happen? What has to be done today? What could wait till tomorrow? What could wait till next week? And have that short daily check-in. I do think there's something about once a week to have a little bit longer for each other. And again, that doesn't have to be a date night, you know, that's people talk about a lot. It doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to get a babysitter. You don't have to go out. Do it after they go to bed. And on Thursday night, because I know you both have off on Fridays, Thursday night or Friday night, whatever, say, all right, this is our time. That we're just going to say, Thursday nights after bedtime, this is us. And it's whatever you need to do to connect. And if that has to change 1 week, then make the change 1 week. It's not, these aren't the hard immovable ones. The immovable part of the boundary is you're a priority. Our marriage is a priority. How that looks on any given week may change. So looking at it in chunks, looking at the year when we can have our getaways, what each week where we can have a couple of hours, and then just the daily check-in. So those are priorities. You've got God, your marriage, then your kids. Okay. Now, realistically, if you've got 15 minutes with God and 15 minutes daily with each other, you've got the time you're at work, and then the rest of it is going to be the kids. So you're filling, doing what needs to be done. But then I think, too, it's good to periodically, you can't do this daily, but maybe once a month on your date night, it's, all right, let's talk about the girls, where they are. What do you see they need? You know, this month, maybe they need, I just feel disconnected. I need to take the middle one out for a daddy-daughter date. You know what? This one just seems to be struggling emotionally. I think if I just had some extra time, what if we let the oldest one stay up an hour late and we just have some quality time, just the three of us, just some of those things. And you're just talking about it. I think the thing is, you're not going to be able to do it all. And it's not all just going to happen. it has to be some intentionality. Mm-hmm. So give it some intentional thought ahead of time on how we are going to approach it, and then take it little chunks mm-hmm. at a time.
Okay.
That was a lot of talking.
No, that was fantastic.
I was like hooked in. I'm like, I'm not here, but I'm like.
If I had my pen, I'd be writing it all down. But
yeah, that was really good. No, you can listen to this back.
Yeah. You could always watch Help Me Parent. No, I think that was fantastic. I think it's good to know, like, you know, there's so much pressure sometimes I feel on date nights, and you have to go out, you have to eat a fancy brunch or and all that stuff. And like, I've heard from other episodes, just kind of like the different ways people do it. It's like, well, just sitting down watching TV is kind of like, it's that time. It's not so much like an event, but it is that time that you spend.
Yes.
You know, and I think we do a good job of that. And I think it's always just kind of the pressure you put on yourself. Like, we spend time together, but like, we don't go out and like dress up and eat steak and stuff like that. But like, I don't like, so I think it's really good to know, like, okay, it's just time. You got to spend that time together.
Yes. And, and asking yourself and each other, what does that time need to look like this week? Mm-hmm. Maybe this week, one of you does need to get out of the house. You know what? I just need to get out of this house, because if I'm here, I'm going to think about all the things that need to be done. Or sometimes it's like, you know what? I just need to be with you and not talk. Can we just watch a show or watch a movie?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, you know what? I need to be with you, but I really just need to talk. And you just talk about it ahead of time, how you're going to spend. You've got the time carved out.
Yeah.
What does it need to look like this week?
Mm. Mm. That's good. I think that's one thing. I mean, we spend time together, but to communicate kind of what we need during that time. And I think that's huge, just to really meet those needs, because sometimes I'm talking to all the guys right now. It's hard to know.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, what do they need?
Right.
You know, and maybe for the women too. Like, it just helps to talk like, hey, I really need this.
Yeah.
Because right now,
we know this, but we don't act like we know this. We can't read minds.
Yeah.
We want to think that the other one should be able to read our mind or pick up on our cues or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a fair expectation. Mm-hmm. You got to talk about it.
Yeah.
So your own, and ask each other. Mm-hmm. It's always easier to share your needs if you're being asked.
Oh, totally.
So ask each other.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. What is y'all's favorite way to spend time with one another? Like, just like you two. Like, y'all go out, y'all stay at the house, y'all play video games?
Play video games, but most of the times, like, we don't even have the brain space when they're in bed to play video games sometimes.
Yeah.
So we'll just
watch TV.
Like, I don't know. We have this thing where we start shows and we never finish them. So we have like a huge list of shows that we've started but never finished. But that's kind of how we spend our time. Sometimes she's like, I really want to play Mario Kart. So I'm like, yeah, all right, let's play Mario Kart.
I love games. That's my favorite way is to play games.
Yeah.
Just the competition. It's great.
And I think just going back to the intentionality, I think we can put too much pressure on ourselves. At the same time, we can let ourselves off the hook a little bit and just say, oh yeah, we're just gonna veg and watch a show. When have we really asked, is that what's needed?
Totally.
At the moment, that's the easiest, but it's not always the best. Sometimes it's exactly what you both need. Yeah. I'm just saying, be willing to ask each other so that you're not assuming, so that you're not having unrealistic expectations that haven't been communicated, and you're also not taking the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm. No, that's big.
Yeah.
That's big. Yeah, that's probably my biggest takeaway from that, is adding that intentionality, not just like defaulting to yeah. just being there, yeah. but like bringing that intentionality is huge.
Yeah, yeah. That's really good. One thing else I want to go hit on before we end, talking about spiritual formation. It's a thing we always talk about. It's like a churchy term, but I think it's so important in your kids and in the ages they're at now. So what is spiritual formation and how do you begin to do that in the toddler stage?
I think I agree. Spiritual formation can sound like this churchy religious thing. I think if we just think about it in terms of development, like we talk about every other form of development, physical development, emotional development, social development, mental development, spiritual development is just another piece of us. We are body, we are soul, which includes our mind, our emotions, our will, our choices, and then we have the spirit side. And I think as parents, it can be something that is overlooked because sometimes, I think a lot of times, it's just not as obvious. The body is really obvious, you know.
Yeah.
Emotions can be really obvious.
Yeah.
And the spirit maybe isn't as obvious, but I would also argue that the others come from that. And so for us to just think about how our kids are developing spiritually. And for us as followers of Jesus, developing spiritually means learning to be a follower of Jesus, learning who Jesus is, what he does, how he does it, who he's made me to be, and how do I be who he created me to be. And so I think a huge piece of it, like all the other areas of development, more is caught than taught. They're picking up things from you all. If they see you reading your Bible, that's some cues to them. Oh, mom and dad have something that they do. They're getting input from somewhere, and it's this book that I see them reading or I hear them talking about. When they hear you pray, when they hear you pray at a meal, when they hear you pray for them at bedtime, that is the beginning of spiritual formation. I can talk to God. I can talk to God about the things I see, about the things I experience, about the things I need, about the things I wish, about whatever. And so we start with that, with the modeling. And then we begin, again, like everything else, you're going to learn to roll over before you crawl, before you walk. You're going to learn to babble before you can say a word, before you can say a sentence, before you can say a paragraph. So like with all the others, start small. And as they, you know, like we were talking about before with the boundaries, with rewards and punishment, how that all changes with age and developmental stages. Same with the spiritual formation. With a three-year-old, it's a bedtime prayer. And hey, what happened? What do you want to say to Jesus tonight? What do you think Jesus wants to say to you tonight? You know, and it's just simple conversations. After church, what was the big point? And go over that big point, you know, every day or one verse for the week. Then with the seven-year-old, you're going to have the conversation's going to go a little bit deeper. Is there something you need Jesus to help you with today before school or at the end of the day? How did Jesus help you today? When did he show up? And oh, when that friend sat with you at lunch, that was Jesus making sure you had a friend because he cares about you, you know, and mm-hmm. we just bring him into the conversation and we build on it step by step. It doesn't have to be this big, it's not another to do, like, how am I going to get it all done today? It's yeah. like just, it talks about in Deuteronomy that as you walk along the road, as you get up in the morning, as you walk alone, walk along, as you go to bed at night, talk to your kids about what you're doing and how God's involved. And then there are some key moments in, quote, spiritual formation with child dedication. We just, as an infant, give our kids back to the Lord, recognizing they're a gift from the Lord and that we want to raise them in a way that honors God. That's kind of our commitment that we're making early on. Then we want, once the kids are at the developmental stage of being able to say, I want to make my own decision to be a follower of Jesus, then we're saying yes, we're giving our heart to God. Then we're going to get baptized. So there are some of those moments. But as parents, walk along and just talk to them. One of the biggest contributing factors to kids being a lifelong friend and follower of Jesus is conversations with their parents about God.
I think with 3 and 5 year olds, as they're growing, one of our focuses is that, like, God's big, God is real, and God loves you is kind of like the focuses. Like, sometimes when we pray, and even with our 3 year old, like, God, I thank you that you love me.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're thankful, and that, and even like how you say it's so tied with our physical and emotional thing.
Yeah.
We bring scripture a lot when they're emotionally distraught.
Yeah.
Like when they're afraid or sad, yeah. we always bring that one prayer. It's that poem prayer. It's a bunch of scriptures combined, but and I know a lot of our parents use it too, but it's like, I'm strong in the Lord, the power of his might. I walk by faith, not by sight. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For you, God, give me the victory. And so we'll do that twice, and then we'll kind of focus on one area.
Yeah.
And then, like, I do that with the girls sometimes if they're like, I just can't. Like, our oldest was school. Like, I just can't go to school. Like, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then so we just, and we say the whole thing, but we start focusing on that.
Yeah.
And then we do like a little, and then we'll do a prayer. And this is when I'm dropping her off. It's like, all right, you'll be strong. Like,
yeah.
And so it's like, so we get to tie it with the emotions. But I think with 3 and 5 year olds, like, we just keep letting them know, like, God's big.
Yeah.
He's strong. And he cares for you. Yeah. And he loves you. He can heal you. Yeah. And like,
He's helping you.
Yeah.
Me, and when she prays, she's like, thank you, God, that you're helping me. Amen.
Like, that's perfect.
I've taught you something.
That's perfect. You know? Yes.
That you're grabbing onto that.
Yes.
And they get excited most of the time. They get excited when we start doing that prayer because we make it big.
Yes.
Like, we put movements in it. We scream it sometimes.
But, yes.
But it gets them excited about it.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not too worried about like reading like a Bible reading plan with them. But like, as long as they kind of know like God's there, our middle one is always like, we walk by the cross.
Oh,
it's like, Jesus died on that cross for me. Like, he died on a cross, not that one.
Yes,
that one.
Okay. He sure did.
But he came back to life. I'm like, yeah.
Yes. He's not there anymore. That's awesome. And I think what I love about what you're saying is, like the other things, anything that we're teaching our kids, we want to make following Jesus, we want to make obedience, all of it, attractive. Mm-hmm. We want it to be fun because it is.
Yeah.
Life with Jesus is joy and peace. It's abundant life, life to the full. So it's not a drudgery. It's just talking about how he's showing up, how he will show up, and making it fun, you know, making obedience fun, all of it. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a fun part about that age.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You just get to be ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
And it's they're the all about it.
Yes.
They don't look at you funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what, and it's getting in them.
Yeah. I love that. Well, this was a great conversation.
Really good.
Great note to end on. Thank you guys for being a part of this episode of Help Me Parent.
Yeah.
And thank you everybody for listening. Just remember that you can parent and we can help.